taken from Genesis 37, 1 to 11, Joseph's dreams. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age and he had made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, thank you for reading that to us, Vaughn. And so it is always a joy and a pleasure to invite anyone to come and preach, but particularly it is a real joy and a real pleasure to invite my brother, Chris Harrigan, to come and preach to us. It's a double Harrigan whammy this morning, so double blessing is what everyone, I'm sure, will have, and so it will be my privilege to invite you to come and preach to us. Shall I pray for you before we begin?
Please.
Yeah. And yes, Lord, we thank you for our brother Chris as he comes to minister your word to us this morning. Pray that you would give him boldness, wisdom, and courage to proclaim your word, and that our hearts and ears and minds will be open to receiving all you wish to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Not working. It's not working. Morning, everyone. I have the pleasure this morning talking to you about Joseph, following Mark's great talk last week on King David. We are going to talk about Joseph and this guy with a funky overcoat. Now, when I read the passage and reflected, I felt that this isn't showing the character of Joseph. It's actually showing the character we don't want to know about Joseph, and there's more to be had from his story. So to understand the context of where we are in this point in the story of being rejected by his brothers, we need to understand where it all came from. Now, Joseph's story goes back all the way to Abraham. He's the great-grandson of Abraham. And Abraham is, obviously, we know, the father and the offspring of all nations, which we are blessed under. Now, God uses Abraham's bloodline and his family to illustrate to us what it is like to be good men and women of God. But, however, they're a little bit dysfunctional, like an EastEnders episode. We have Abraham, who gives his wife away, Sarah, to other men. We have Sarah, who allows Abraham to sleep with his servants, and that brings a whole world of trouble. And then, in his old age, a bit like Jacob, he's blessed with a son, Isaac. Isaac goes on to have Esau and Jacob. And then we see the beauty of Jacob, where he decides he's going to rob his brother of his inheritance and deceive his father, who is old and blind. Joseph is the 11th son of Jacob. There are 12 in total. to understand why his brothers might have hated him so much about this beautiful, beautiful robe that he had, we have to understand the context in which they hate him. Joseph was deceived by his father-in-law to marry his wife's sister, Leah. He was deceived by his father-in-law to marry Leah, which he had 11 boys with. 10, no, because Joseph is 11. 10 boys. And it wasn't until later on that actually Jacob gets to marry Rachel, his true love, and have two boys. This polygamous marriage that we see was quite rife at this time, and you generally would see lots of sibling rivalry in these family contexts. But to really understand the character of Joseph, we need to look at Joseph's whole story, not just the beautiful coat and the dream sequence. We have Joseph and his dreams, and we have his ornate coat. But the story goes on and takes Joseph on a deep journey. Rejected by his brothers, hated by his brothers, he is thrown into a pit. And that not being bad enough, they think about murdering him, and when they decide not to murder him, which is, you know, a blessing, they decide to sell him off to a merchant who takes him off to Egypt. If you don't think the Bible is relevant today, this is the first signs that we see of human trafficking in the Bible right early on down in Genesis 37. And we know that human trafficking is rife and alive today in our lives. Now, Joseph is sold off by the merchant to Potiphar, who is the captain and guard to the Pharaoh. We see early on in the passage that Joseph is favored by the Lord and is blessed, because Joseph becomes a blessing to the family that he is serving. He's so favored that actually Potiphar rises him up and makes him head of his household to look after all things that he has. Now, the story, again, a bit like EastEnders, we find Potiphar's wife takes a little bit of a fancy to Joseph, who's quite a young, handsome man. Joseph is an honourable and obedient, faithful guy, and he rebukes this advance, and in response, he is thrown into prison, where he finds his next favour and blessing. He is in prison, and whilst he's in prison, the prison guard could see that God is with him and that he is favored by the Lord. So he is made in charge of the whole prison. And whilst he's there, we see Joseph minister to a cupbearer and a baker who have also been sent to prison by the Pharaoh. Now, whilst he's there, they have a couple of dreams. So we have the dreamer become the interpreter. And Joseph ministers to these two guys. Now, one of these guys ends up getting killed by the Pharaoh, and the other guy, the cupbearer, gets brought back into Pharaoh's company. But unfortunately for Joseph, he is forgotten by the cupbearer and is not seen for a few years. We go on to the Pharaoh having his own dream, and where no one could interpret, the cupbearer all suddenly clicks and remembers Joseph and his gift of interpreting dreams. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams. He explains about the famine, the 7 years of richness and the 7 years of famine, and that they should prepare for that time. This is where we see Joseph really come alive again, where he says to Pharaoh, "I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answers he desires." Even when he's in the presence of the Most High of the land, he gives God the glory, puts God before himself. Joseph is then made head of Pharaoh's administration and watches over all of Pharaoh's lands, gathering all the grain and preparing for this famine. And Pharaoh dresses Joseph in robes and fine jewels, mirroring what we see at the beginning with Jacob. Now the famine extended into Canaan, where Joseph's family lived. Egypt had stockpiled grain, so Jacob sends his sons to go and buy grain to live. They all end up going to Egypt, where they find Joseph, but they do not recognize him. And it's here where we see God's full vision fulfilled through Joseph, where he's reunited with his family. Joseph, then again, you see his great character. Rather than punishing his brothers for what they did at the beginning of the story, he blesses them and forgives them and shows and brings them to redemption. Now, the story that we find in Genesis is written by Moses, who's believed to have written the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. Moses spends more time talking about Joseph than any other main character before in the Bible, Adam, Noah. He also talks more about Joseph than he does the other patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, why does he do this? Let me reframe the story so see it from possibly what God is saying is this morning. We have a family who is entrusted with a promise but have not been great. They've cheated and deceived and failed. So God uses a son whom he is well pleased, who is betrayed by his brothers who beaten and imprison him and leave him for dead. But God uses this impossible situation. God lifts up a servant who gives glory to God and brings salvation to his people. What we see here in Genesis is a snapshot of the whole Bible story right early on before it even really begins. This isn't a story about a dream or a coat, but it's about how God uses impossible situations to show us how he keeps his covenant and his promises. So, what do we learn about the character of Joseph through this journey that he's been on? Mark talked last week about heroes, and I love a great hero movie. But what happens in most hero movies is the hero must fall, and Joseph's story isn't any different. Joseph proffers during affliction. Joseph served Potiphar fully, without complaint or begrudgingly or rebellion. He serves him faithfully and honorably with diligence and honor. Despite being a slave from a different race or culture, Joseph is lifted into a position of responsibility and authority, both in Potiphar's house and in prison. In all instances, Joseph doesn't take the glory for himself, but gives the glory to God. He had no fear to glorify God in his workplace or in front of people that he found important. Joseph is thrown into the pit on more than one occasion. And what we see is a man who shows obedience and submission and courage. Jesus shows attributes of Christ early on in the Bible, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he submits and is obedient and takes courage, how he's led off on his path towards the cross. Joseph prospers because his faith rather than his favor. In a book of the Treasure Principle, Randy Alcorn says, God prospers me not to increase my standard of living, but rather my standard of giving. God doesn't use Joseph in this instance, in a way that we expect. Joseph doesn't use God's favor to better himself, but others. And it's here where we see God in him, like Christ in us. Joseph is blessed by God's presence, and his presence brings a blessing. Joseph has been taken from his home, he's been displaced, and is forced into service in a foreign land. God's favor and presence must have been far off, and he must have been without despair. But we don't see that in Joseph. Joseph doesn't give up, nor does he despair. Does he moan? Does he have discouragement? No. God's favor and presence is there and is manifested in God's presence, and we can see that God is with him and with others. He is an Emmanuel, to speak, or a foreshadow of Christ. God uses Joseph in impossible and awful situations. We can take from this account that Joseph didn't just sit back resting on his laurels, but continued to serve faithfully, honestly, and with integrity, despite it being the darkest of times. The Lord blesses his efforts, which we see in Genesis 39, where he says, "From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph." Joseph's very presence in Potiphar's house and in a prison brings God's blessing wherever he was. Joseph has God's wisdom, which brings blessing to the cupbearer. And the cupbearer can see God at work in Joseph, as Joseph can see God at work in him. Joseph ministers in his darkest time through faithfulness and self-denial. So what we see this morning, or what I have seen this morning, and I'm presenting to you, is that God does his greatest work in our darkest times. Now, some of you might know me, some of you don't. It's a little bit of a short story about me over the last couple of years. 2 years ago, I felt I had a dream that I was going to be a priest. I followed that dream and went for my BAP, where they select if you're going to go forward as a priest. And unfortunately, I was not selected for priesthood at that time. It is a tough journey to go on, where they pull you apart and question you and dissect you and examine you on every level, and you've given yourself all that you are, and you are rejected. It is a humbling and tough time. Life is not easy. We all work, we have families, we juggle lots. The pressures of stress of work are bearing down, and you feel that you're in the pit. Then it gets worse. We have Jenny taken from us, someone whom I dearly loved and was a close friend, whose husband I hold dear and whose son I truly care about. I'm in my darkest time. God pulls me out of a dark time and sends me to Kenya to minister some children and to a hospital, and breaks me down even further through physical strain in an alien and foreign land. I'm clawing at the pit with grief. But like Joseph's story, it's not until we look back over our journey that we see where God has been blessing us. We go from the promise and the dream to hardship, rejection, and pain. But where we see hopelessness, God sees opportunity to show grace, mercy, and love. Looking back over the last 2 years, I can see how God has formed me and refined my character, like he did with Joseph, drawing out qualities and characteristics that I never thought I had, and using me in unlikely places that I never thought I'd go to. Ministering to others in darkest times, maturing us, testing us, readying us for the God's plan to manifest through us. In Joseph's story, He reaches out to two prisoners despite his own suffering, just as Christ did on the cross with the robber. We finally see one of Joseph's most amazing characteristics, which was faithfulness and forgiveness. God takes Joseph on a journey from arrogance to humility and compassion. Joseph was in a relationship with God that saw blessings through hardship. Joseph denies himself a place for God's glory, and he is not ashamed of putting God first rather than his own advancement or betterment. Joseph's life and sacrifice leads to gathering of God's family. And rather than taking a revenge, which is totally understandable of what they'd put him through, Joseph shows forgiveness, generosity, and tenderness. This is a story about forgiveness and redemption. Maybe God is saying to us this morning that he shows us how to live Christ through all the aspects of our life, whether they are good or bad. Joseph isn't like David. He's not some amazing warrior with a great story, or like Isaiah, prophet, evangelist. God uses an administrator and an accountant to bless others. He uses a slave to show God's blessing on us today. God walked with Joseph through a time of personal transformation and involved extraordinary levels of pain and disappointment in order to bring him low so he could be brought high in the kingdom realm. The hero must fall so he can rise in victory. Christ had to die on the cross so he would rise in glory to the Father. We are not defined by those things that make us fall. We are defined by how we respond. We do not live in defeat, but we live in the victory with Christ. God's promise is moving through people's households and workplaces, bringing blessing because you are there carrying Christ and you are that blessing. By living a godly life in the everyday people, other people will be blessed around you and hopefully see Christ in you. And they will share your blessing because you are truly blessed. You carry the favour of God because you said yes to Christ. He's continuing his blessing and his promise that he made to Abraham through you today. God blessed Joseph through his darkest moments. And it didn't matter what was going on or where he was with God. God revealed his kingdom where he was. God brings us to a place where we need Christ so we can go share Christ with others.